apologize. Well, last Sunday, we began a series titled I Am. The name I Am Who I Am is who God told Moses to tell the enslaved people of Egypt that Moses was going to deliver them, God's people. Fast forward, Jesus, in the book of John, he makes 7 I Am statements, connecting himself directly with his Father. In each statement and miracle of Jesus, they help each other, so there's no misunderstanding of what he's saying. Jesus wasn't showing off his power and demonstrating miracles but revealing the meaning of his ministry, the meaning of his teachings. Jesus declared himself, as we talked last week, I am the bread of life. It was just after he had performed a miracle of feeding 5,000. It was actually close to 15,000. And the people only wanted Jesus to feed them again. But they still didn't believe in him. The people wanted only the blessing and not the blesser. And the encouragement last week was this: when you and I want God more than we want his blessing, we will receive. Pursue more of God, not just more from God. Jesus wanted them to place a higher priority on the spiritual and the eternal over the physical and the temporal. They wanted to see before they believed. But faith must always come first. Believe what? And then you'll see. Jesus said he was the bread, the true bread from heaven, given for anyone, where you will live forever. Although it cost him a great price, his life, right? He died once and for all. You know, if you're hungry, you eat bread. You can't just look at bread or know what's in the bread. You gotta eat it. It's not enough to think about Jesus or know some facts about Jesus or understand how he saves you. You must believe. Believing in Jesus is hard. It means surrendering. It's saying, I can't do this on my own. I can't make it on my own. Jesus, save me. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me will never thirst. I often take it for granted of having light to see. One winter retreat, we took 2 vanloads of youth to Lake Geneva for a winter retreat, and it had snowed so badly, we had to leave the retreat early on Sunday. And I remember driving the van, I had the trailer on the back, and straining to stay on the road and trying to follow the other, you know, the tire grooves in front of me on the highway. And I could barely see. The snow was falling and blowing all over, and I could just barely see the taillights of the car in front of me. I've seen news stories, you know, pictures, video of 30, 40, 50 car pileups on the highway because of snow or because of severe weather or foggy conditions. I've never lived in a time when there was no electricity. I've always had it. Right? I don't live on Little House on the Prairie. I simply walk into a room, hit a switch, lights, I can see. Because when it's dark, the main function of your little toe is to make sure all the furniture in the house is in the right place. I can't imagine my life not having access to light. And I think we've all taken light for granted at times. We're used to having light switches when we walk into the room. Now we have, you know, a flashlight on our phones, super handy sometimes. Lights that come on automatically when we walk into a room or a hallway, just magically comes on. Even when we have, you know, we've got smart homes where lights go on, you know, with an app or a timer. We're glad for the headlights on our car so people see us, but we can also see. We're glad for runway lights so the planes can land safely, get us to where we're going. We don't wake up and wonder, if the lights were going to work today. We just don't do that. We don't even think about having light until the power goes out. When we had Ralph Ferguson's funeral, Sister Nancy's only son, the power went out that morning. So no air conditioning, no power, no lights. And we're here to pay respects and honor Ralph. But Peace Chapel improvised. We had visitation down the hallway by the windows. We opened the windows, set up a couple of borrowed generators to run the sound system, and we brought the keyboard into this fellowship hall where we planned to have the service because we didn't know when the power was going to come back on. And even though it was overcast that morning, it was still daylight, but it was still dark and shadowy, especially in the restrooms. You know, the doors are closed and it's pitch black in there. You can't see, but we put some battery-powered lights in there. I think it was about 45 minutes before the service started, the power came back on. And we had air conditioning, we had a sound system, we had lights. So we moved everything back into this space right here in the sanctuary. We often just take lights for granted until we desperately need to see where we're going. We just can't imagine a world with no lights at night. It's foreign to us. There are four aspects to being human, right? You have the physical, you have the emotional, you have the intellectual, and you have the spiritual. And sadly, there are hundreds of millions of people around the world living in spiritual darkness every single day. Most of the world has access to some form of physical light to see, but many do not have access to the spiritual light of Jesus Christ. Yes, some have rejected Jesus, turned their back on him, but others have not even heard about him or the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And Jesus, when he was here, he had some pretty strong and shocking statements regarding who he was. And the title of my message this morning in this series, I Am, is I Am the Light of the World. I am the light of the world. Just as Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, we talked about it last week, I am the light of the world. So a little background before we read our text this morning. Jesus was at the temple, and he was teaching the crowd of people that were gathered. And the teachers of religious law, the Pharisees, they brought a woman caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her in front of the crowd. And they told Jesus what Moses' law says about adultery and then what to do about that, and they wondered what Jesus thought. They were trying to trap Jesus into saying something wrong, but as you know the story, Jesus bent down and in the dust he began to write with his finger. Then Jesus said, if you've never sinned, throw the first stone. Well, you know the story. They dropped their stones and they left one by one, where it was just Jesus and this woman. And he told the woman to go and sin no more. So here's where we pick up the text this morning in John chapter 8, verse 12. Says this, Jesus said to the people, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making false claims about yourself. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you don't know this about me. You judge me with all your human limitations, your human standards, but I am not judging anyone. And if I did, my judgments would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. I have with me the Father who sent me. Verse 17, your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Well, where's your father? They asked. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my father is. If you knew me, then you would know my father too.
Ouch.
Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury, but he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. So Jesus was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacle. And during that feast, a priest went to the Pool of Siloam, and he drew some water into a golden pitcher, and he returned in a procession to the temple where he poured it out on the base of the altar. It symbolized God's provision of water from the rock that sustained Israel when they were in the wilderness. There was another ceremony done at this feast where they lit four large, huge candelabras or torches in the court of the women in the temple. Now, it symbolized the fact that the Lord had been a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to protect and to guide Israel in the desert, not for 4 days or 4 weeks, 40 years. It was a visual symbol of the fact that the Lord was with his people. If you saw the cloud, you knew God was with us. If you saw the fire, you knew that God was there. When Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, it took place in the temple treasury, in the court of the women, where people would bring their offerings. It was here, right, where the torches were lit, that Jesus boldly proclaimed, I am the light of the world. The word light means to shine or that which contrasts with darkness, right? Light makes sight possible, makes things visible so we can see. In Scripture, light can be a literal, physical light, and it can be a metaphor or a symbol, like Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Light is a sign of righteousness, it's a sign of truth, it's a sign of knowledge, but it's also a sign of life, life. The Apostle John declared in the first chapter, verse 4, the Word, capital W, the Word, who is Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Jesus fills a person's life with light, just like the sun gives light to all. You know, some people, sadly, are born blind, and they can't physically see the sun. Some people close their eyes and they refuse to see the sun. But the sun is still there. It shines whether they see it or not, right? There's only one sun for our galaxy, and it's at the center, and it's the source of all life. And the same is true of the one true God, who is the center of all and the source of all life. Jesus said to the people in verse 12, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You see, it's only those who believe in Jesus and follow him that they can receive the light. Only those who follow Jesus are delivered from the darkness of the world. You see, to follow Jesus means to believe on him, to trust him, to walk in the light, not the dark. And the word darkness is referring to sin. It's referring to spiritual ignorance. It's referring to spiritual death. Those who follow Jesus won't walk or stumble in darkness. It'll be like walking on a path at night carrying a bright lantern. You'll be able to see the path. You'll be able to see where you're going. And the Pharisees here, they just didn't accept Jesus' testimony and his claims as valid. Shocker, right? In the Old Testament, to establish the truth of someone's testimony, at least two witnesses are necessary. And Jesus had only one witness in their eyes. But God the Father was his other witness. Jesus knew who he was, that he came from God, and someday he's going to return to his Father. And Jesus was and is incapable of false testimony and false judgment. Again, the Pharisees refused to see Jesus' light. No shocker there. Where is your father? They asked. We don't believe you. But Jesus publicly put them in their place. You see, light doesn't need a witness. It gives its own witness by shining. The person who says there is no light, they don't condemn the light, but they condemn themselves, right? They are blind. The sun is always there. Whether you look at it, it's there. It's there. And unlike the Pharisees, Jesus doesn't judge by human standards, human limitations. Jesus told them that they only judge by what they see and what they hear, and not about anything spiritual. You see, the way they judged the woman caught in adultery proved that they didn't understand the law or their own sinful hearts. They didn't even know that their Messiah was standing in front of them. But they were deeply religious and claimed to know the law of God, but they didn't know the God of the law. They didn't have God's love in their hearts. And since they didn't know the Father, they certainly didn't know the Son. You see, Jesus doesn't judge in the same way the Pharisees judge. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus is our judge now and at the end of the world. And we can be sure that his decisions will always be correct. He will always judge fairly, always right. And as the light of the world, Jesus becomes the one and only source of illumination, of spiritual reality for our lives. If we believe in him, our eyes will be opened and we'll see. If we refuse to believe in Jesus, we are left with only human standards and human limitations and spiritual darkness. There's another story in the book of John where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus and his disciples were walking along and they saw a man that was blind. And his disciples asked, Why was he born blind? Was it his own sin? Did his parents sin? Why was he born blind? And Jesus reassured them that it wasn't because of anyone's sins, but that the power of God would be seen. The power of God would be demonstrated. And before the world comes to an end, before the night falls, right? Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, "But while I am still here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then it says, he does something strange. Jesus spits on the ground and he makes some mud with the saliva and he spreads this mud over the blind guy's eyes. And Jesus tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam and guess what? He sees. He's healed. The neighbors were confused. Is this the same guy? And they asked, "How did you get healed?" And he told them it was Jesus, but they just weren't sure. So they took him to the Pharisees and this former blind man told them what had happened. And the Pharisees got all upset with Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. Shocker, right? They were trying to get to the bottom of the story and they brought in the man's parents to question them. In essence, the parents said, "Well, ask him yourself. He's a grown man." So the Pharisees, they called the man back in for a second time and they told him that this Jesus is a sinner. So I want you to listen to this blind man's response. I love this. In John 9:25, "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see." "I don't know what you're saying is true. All I know is this. I was blind, and now I can see." I love that about this man. This guy had to beg for help. But now he could see. He could walk. He could praise God. His life was forever changed from darkness to light. He was healed of his blindness by the great I am, by the light of the world. I wonder today if you're like the woman caught in adultery. You were guilty of sin and deemed unworthy, but the light of the world stepped not only into her world, but into your world as well. Jesus stepped in and revealed the hearts of those who wanted justice, but they weren't willing to look at their own sinful hearts. Jesus didn't come to condemn her, and he doesn't condemn you. Jesus gave her a brand new start, and he'll do the same for you. He restored her dignity and self-worth as a daughter of the King. And Jesus will restore your worth as one of his kids. I wonder today if you're like the blind man who was just trying to make it through another day. You're trying to make your way in life, but the light of the world stepped not only into his world, but he steps into your world. Jesus removed his blindness, and you could see for the he could see for the first time. Jesus wants to remove your blindness so you can see for the first time. Jesus removed the darkness that brought light into this man's life. And Jesus will remove the darkness, the spiritual darkness, and bring light to you and I. You were once blind, but now you can see. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead, in Romans it says you will be saved. A couple of weeks ago, we noticed that there was no hot water in the church kitchen. And the hot water tank was completely cold. Come to find out, the pilot light was out. The pilot light must always be lit so it can heat the water to make it hot, right? There was no flame. No light to heat the water. Tom to the rescue. But there's a reminder this morning. We need to stay lit and be ready to be used for God's glory. We have to stay lit at all times. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount said this in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for some." No. It says all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. This little light of mine. This little light of mine. Everybody sing now. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, that's enough. All right. You get the idea. Jesus calls you and I the light of the world. His light is shining through us. Those who follow Jesus also become lights themselves. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your faith. Let it shine for your family. Let it shine for your neighbors. Let it shine for your coworkers. Don't hide it. You were once blind, but now you can see. Can you imagine this man who put mud on his face and his eyes, and all of a sudden he can see? Do you think he's just like, oh, thanks. Thank, appreciate that. Something happened in his life. He could probably, if he was married and had a family, he could support them. He could work. He could be a part of society and not beg, but then give to others who needed. Something changed in him. You and I were once blind, but now we can see. One dark and ominous night during World War II, a U.S. aircraft carrier was plowing through the heavy seas in the South Pacific with all of the ship's lights out because of enemy submarines. But one plane was missing. Somewhere in that pitch black sky, it was circling in the seemingly futile search for this aircraft carrier. Its only landing place. Its only hope of not being swallowed up by this giant ocean. The ship's captain, knowing the terrible risk involved, he gave the order, light up the ship. Light up the ship. Soon that plane zoomed onto the deck like a homing pigeon. As the light of the world shines in your life, let it be seen. As Jesus shines through you, you can help others see Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Jesus will turn our spiritual darkness into light. If we believe him, he will open our eyes, just like that blind guy. Driving home from that winter retreat was quite an experience. Knowing I had the precious lives of our youth in the vans in this dangerous weather. And you know what I'm talking about. I was white-knuckling driving, which should have taken about 2 hours to get home. Took about four. But we made it back safely. I followed the vehicle's taillights in front of me. Let me encourage you with the words of the Apostle Peter in chapter 2, verse 9. Says this, "For you have been chosen by God Himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light." Anybody say amen to that? "Once you were less than nothing, now you are God's own. Once you knew very little of God's kindness, but now your very lives have been changed by it." Live that reality today. God called you out of darkness, spiritual blindness, called you out of sin into His wonderful light, into His grace.